Good morning once again and welcome. It's good to see more faces and bodies in the chairs this week than last week. I think Donald and Diane possibly thought I was preaching right at them, and I mean, thank God that there was someone sitting there, but summer's like that, I guess. People coming and going. That's okay. Also like to welcome all that are listening through the internet this morning. Glad you tuned in today because I believe that the word the Lord has laid on my heart will bless us today. I believe it'll open up our eyes also to see possibly a little bit of a different perspective on some things that we might think we're settled in. How many of us know that's a good thing? That's what repenting is all about. People think repenting is falling on your face and feeling bad about yourself. But repenting is simply this. It's changing the way you see. It's changing your mind, really. Changing the way we see. So this morning, we're going to talk about something that possibly we need to change our mind about. Amen? Last week, if you were here, I talked about faith. We were talking about faith. And there is so many things said about faith. There is so many teachings out there on faith. And last week, I was trying to show us that faith has been taught in a manner where it's almost melted down to following a formula. It's like a law. And I said last week, faith is not a law. It is not a formula. Faith is simply a fruit of the Spirit. It is a response to seeing the goodness of God. Amen? But I also said this, and that's where I want to pick up today. I also said this. Faith is not trying to believe God or trying to receive something into your life in the natural that does not exist. And that's where people look at us and they raise an eyebrow. When they know in the natural, it's very clear to see the doctor might have given us a bad report and we're dying. We're in the last stages of cancer. And you say, no, but by his stripes, I am healed. And they look at us because we're believing for healing by faith like, whoa. But when you understand that we're not believing for something that doesn't exist. To them, it does not exist. To us, it exists. Where does it exist? In Christ. And so, stepping out in faith is not stepping into the dark. It's actually stepping into the light, who Jesus is. Amen? So we need to understand that. You are not calling in something that does not exist because you and I do not have power to create anything. It's already given or you can't receive it. Amen? So we need to understand that. And you know, this morning, I want to say this to us. We have heard many, many sermons, and I've preached many of them myself, on living on this earth in the abundant life that Jesus died to give us. John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you may have life and that you might have it in abundance." One translation says that you might have and enjoy this life in abundance. Now, we've spoken many times. Are you enjoying this life? Do you have an abundance of life? But this morning, I'm not going to talk about living an abundant life, but a fulfilled life. And there is a difference. You know, you can have all kinds of things in abundance in your life. You can have money. I mean, sometimes when we're sitting on the other side of it, money looks pretty good, right? But you can be sitting in all the money you want. You can have multiple houses, vehicles, everything you could possibly desire in the natural. You could even have your health and you know, you're good looking and you're famous. I mean, it all can come together as a package. Abundance in every area. But you can still be unfulfilled. How many of us know that? Because these things only satisfy us for a short while. We think before we have these things and we're yearning for them, it's like, yes, if I can just get to that place where I have all the money and I don't ever have to worry about money. And we think then, now I'm enjoying life. No, you know what? You'll be satisfied for a little while. And but after a while, those things kind of get old, right? Just like the vehicle in your driveway. You might be excited when it's new, but after a while, it's just a vehicle. You can't be fulfilled with things. And so another way of saying it this morning is this: are you living a satisfied life? Because the word fulfilled is satisfaction, right? Fulfilled is to be completely satisfied. Now, I'm not speaking today to those of us who are not Christians, who are not in Christ, because we know, and we've heard it preached many times, and this is the truth, that only God can satisfy you. When it's all said and done, and everything around you is quiet, and you are all by yourself, on the inside, the real you, we know, and we teach it, that no matter how it looks on the outside or what face you put on the inside, there's something missing. You're not complete on the inside without Jesus. And so I'm not talking to those of us this morning who don't know Jesus, but I'm talking to those of us who do know Jesus. Are you living a completely satisfied life? You're looking at me like, well, I don't even know what she's really talking about or where she's going here. And I'm not talking about, don't think of money. I'm not talking about today the things we possess in this life. I'm talking about just being satisfied with life. I'm talking more about the real you, the inner you, the you nobody else sees. They say it's your eyes that are, the real you is looking out of your eyes. And if I want to see the real you, I got to look in your eyes. So I'm talking about the real you, the real person on the inside, that a lot of times we don't let anybody really see that person. Come on, can you hear an amen? You know, in the church, and especially in the last while, and I'm not knocking this, we do teach a lot on the abundant life having to do with the material side of things, with the physical side of us, right? But today I want to talk about our spiritual life, who we really are on the inside, and are we satisfied? If you really examine yourself, really ask that yourself that question, what would be the answer? We can have everything on the outside and be totally satisfied, fulfilled, have enough to eat, clothes to wear, a nice home, all of these things. But on the inside, we're not satisfied. So let's say it this way so we can understand what I'm trying to say. When I refer to being unfulfilled or unsatisfied on the inside, what I'm referring to really is the longings of the heart. Talking about your heart this morning. I'm talking about the longings of the heart. And because I really don't know how to say what the Lord laid on my heart, I'm going to say it maybe in a way that you might not understand, but it's the best way I can interpret what the Lord showed me. And it's this: a longing heart is an unfulfilled heart. I'm talking about being satisfied here this morning, talking about being fulfilled, just like we preach being fulfilled in the natural. We are fulfilled in Christ. What about the spiritual? Do you have a heart that is longing for things? Not necessarily things. We'll see that as we go along. So what is it that the heart longs for? What is it that the heart is unfulfilled in? And I'm, like I said, I'm going to say it again. I'm not talking to those who don't know Jesus. I'm talking about us who are in Christ, who have tasted of his goodness. We have seen that he is good. The heart longs for the presence of God. The heart longs for the manifestation of the power of God. Am I correct? We long for that in our hearts. We long for more of a sense of his love in our lives. And you know, there's, if you ask yourself and be honest with yourself, you ask yourself, what do I long for? What seems to be not fulfilled on the inside of me? What is it that my heart is longing after? And you know, in the church, we believe and have taught that this is a good thing, this longing that we have on the inside. And we have been led to believe that a heart that longs after God is pleasing to God. We even sing songs about it. And many of our songs, we are expressing our longing for more of his presence, more of his love, more of his power, show your power. I mean, on and on the list goes. There's As the Deer, So My Soul Longeth After You. And we have made that to be a very holy and noble and virtuous thing. But you know what? We're the children of the New Testament. But we still have the same mentality of the old. In the church today, in many of the churches, we are the children of the New Testament. We think we're free from the law. We think we're going on. But you know what? We are. And we are walking, beginning to walk. But there's still areas that we still are thinking like the Old Testament saints. And this is one of the areas the Lord has shown me. We still are walking in the mentality of the Old Covenant saints. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say here today. To have a desire for the presence of God, that's good. That's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. And to have a desire to see his power at work, his miracle working power, you know, in the earth, that's not a bad thing either. I'm not knocking these things. Or having a desire on the inside to live a holy life. That's not bad. These are not evil desires. You know, we want to be just like Jesus. We can't help it. It's just in us. Because we're one spirit with Jesus, of course. The Bible even says he gives you the desires of your heart. We have always interpreted that to mean that what I desire, God gives me. No, he creates the desires of your heart. He's one with you now. And there's sometimes you desire things and you don't even know why you would ever desire something like that. You know, it just doesn't make, when you know it's the Lord who is always at work, willing for you to do of his good pleasure. God will never call you to do something that you don't desire. We used to be afraid, I don't want to do that because I don't want to. We were always afraid that God, if we got too close to God, he would send you off into the mission field. And you know, how ridiculous. God places the desires in your heart to do what you do. And you love doing it. You just can't wait to do it. It's part of you, okay? So don't be afraid that God's going to give you a desire that's going to go totally contrary to what you like, to your nature. He always will give you something that's going to bless you and bless others. Amen? So all these things are not bad or evil. We want to be like Jesus. But what I want to talk about here this morning is let us not be deceived like Eve was from the simplicity of the truth by reasoning contrary to the truth. Because that's the mentality of the old covenant. Now, I'm going to use an example so that we can understand what I'm talking about this morning. Let's take, for example, the presence of the Lord. Everybody and anybody who is in Christ, who has ever experienced the tangible, because it's real, presence of God. Come on, can you hear an amen? It is heavenly. There is no English words to describe it. In that moment, in that place, it's like time stands still. Everything about your being, it's like it just comes alive. You have never felt so full of life. Amen? It's an overwhelming, physical, tangible sensation. And it's wonderful. I mean, anybody that's been there will say, amen. I mean, there is nothing like the presence of God. Just imagine, you guys, we get to live in that like a constant supply of that for eternity. We're going to be feeling good. So we all, my point is we all love to experience that presence. You know, I mean, it's no wonder, you know, we long for the presence of God. So what that does is it creates a longing in us because we've experienced it once. I mean, we want it back. We want to experience it again, right? Because we don't experience it on a constant basis. So then we reason, hear me out, then we reason in our minds what we were doing at the time that we experienced it. What did we do that led up to it? That's thinking like the Old Testament. Were we worshiping God in church? Singing songs of worship? And then the presence just fell and manifested. And we all felt the presence of God. So then what we do is we equate the presence to our worship. We equate the presence to our worship. And in fact, last week, I heard a testimony. I won't mention, I don't even remember names. It doesn't matter. I was just listening to it. I heard a testimony of someone who had such a longing and such a hunger for the presence of God that he worshiped God on the piano and singing songs 8 hours a day, day in, 7 days a week. So what does he do? He plays the piano and he worships God. So just imagine this, 8 hours a day, every day. And then when he does this, the presence of God comes down and the power of God is in the place and many, many people are miraculously healed and delivered and set free. I'm listening to this. And of course, the person who's interviewing him is like, wow. And he said, more and more people are coming. This is his ministry. And God is moving and God is working. And I'm not denying that. I'm not standing here saying that's not true. Okay. But as I was listening to this, I began to ponder it and the Lord began to open up my eyes to see some things. And I hope that we all see this morning. So when you hear this type of testimony, how do you reason it? How do you think about it? Because we reason everything we hear. Number one, for the majority of the body of Christ, we would hear that and we think, wow, that's amazing. But it would make us think, now this is a relationship to me. God is reluctant to manifest himself. We equate many hours of worship with the presence of God. Well, I don't have 8 hours a day. I barely have 8 minutes. So what does that tell me? The presence of God is only for those who can worship God, really enter in to the worship of God and sing many songs. Besides, I don't even know how to sing or play the piano for that matter. That's the average person. Thirdly, we look at this type of a ministry or even the person behind it as being on a whole nother level of Christianity. Someone who worships God 8 hours a day, every day, he's on a whole new level. Come on. Is that not true? We worship God for an hour and we think, whoa, 8 hours a day. And we think he desires the presence of God so much. So you see, we build a little shrine around that. He desires God's presence so much that he's willing to devote 8 hours a day just to worship God. What a wonderful desire. And so we pray, Lord, give me more desires for you. So now we equate the presence of God, the manifest presence, with our worship. and a long time of worship. The longer we worship, the greater the power. Come on, it's true. And this is an Old Testament mentality. Even when you hear things like, if you seek God with your whole heart, Megan, you will find him. But we emphasize, seek God with your whole heart. This is an Old Testament scripture. And you know, we need to understand, in the Old Testament, they did have to seek after God. God was not in them. And the presence of the Lord was not just automatically there. It was in the tent. And unless God manifested that presence, they didn't have the presence. And so, of course, they were longing for what we now have. Amen? So in the New Testament, all of these things I'm talking about here this morning have already been provided in Christ. We need not have that longing heart, the heart that's never satisfied for the things of God. So when you have this longing heart all the time, really it's just a heart of unbelief. That's what the Lord showed me. If you're longing for something, you just don't believe you have it. There are two things the Bible tells us we can long for, or we should long for. What are those two things in the New Testament? Can anybody guess? What is it that we don't have? We don't have our bodies yet. We can long for our glory. The Bible says that our bodies groan and sigh when we look at the weakness of the flesh. And you know, and we're frustrated because on the inside we're getting more and more alive every day, but the flesh, it's like it doesn't want to do what the Spirit wants to do. Come on, you young guys may not have that experience yet, but as you get older, it's like, okay, I see myself doing all these things, but my body doesn't want to sometimes be as quick as my spirit wants to do things. Amen. But praise God, we have the Holy Spirit, and he quickens our flesh even while we're in this body. But we know and we long for the body that we're going to have someday, right? A glorified body, just like Jesus. Megan and I were discussing that yesterday, and she said she thinks that she's going to be floating down roads of chocolate, and she'll just scoop it in her body. Amen. Yeah, you can eat anything you want. You can go through. We can travel faster than light. We can go through walls. And I mean, just imagine. We could never knock ourselves off. The body would just never die. It's going to be amazing. And so we don't have that yet. I don't think we have that yet. We don't have that yet. Of course not. So it's something you can long for. What's the other thing the Bible talks about longing, the heart longs for? That's an easy one. We long for the second return of Jesus. He has not yet come back. And we know that. So that's a longing that is in the New Testament believer. We long to see the return of Jesus. So those are the two longings that we see in the New Testament scriptures. But there's only one time in the New Testament where the word seek is used to really seek. And it's in, we looked at it last week, where it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there you go, Pastor. There it is. We are to seek God with all of our hearts. Now, that seek in this passage is a Greek word which actually means to investigate, to diligently investigate. What are we investigating? We're not looking for God. We already have God, but we are diligently investigating the truth about the God, about our God. That's what this word means. To investigate is just don't believe what everybody tells you about God. Do some research. Investigate for yourself. Find out, right? And that isn't hard. God's not keeping that from us because he even said, Jesus Christ, it says, no man has seen God at any time. This is John chapter 1, verse 18. The only begotten Son, who is Jesus, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has, in the Amplified says, he has brought him out and made him known. So it's easy. The investigation is found in Christ. So to diligently seek God is to investigate through Christ, to look at Christ, to study Jesus. Because in studying Jesus, we will get to know God. He is the express image of God. No man has seen God, but Jesus came to show us who God was. So this diligently seeking him is actually just reading the gospel. It's knowing Jesus and all that he has done. Because in that you will see God. And he rewards those that do that, that diligently seek to know him. So if when we look at Jesus, we will see God. We will see the truth about God. So my point in here this morning is you and I already have all the things that the heart is longing for. We already have them. They've already been given. We have the power. We have the presence. And when we long for something, it speaks of separation from something. A longing heart speaks of separation. It's like we still don't understand. And God's saying, like, you know, you're longing for this thing, but, you know, I can't fulfill that. I can't satisfy you in that area because I've already satisfied you. And it's by faith that you receive that, right? It's like the woman who went, it's Mary, when she went to the tomb of Jesus. And she looks in and the tomb's empty. And she begins to weep, like, somebody, where's my Lord? And the angels look in her and say, why are you crying? What are you crying about? Jesus, oh, somebody took the Lord, you know, and she's sad because Jesus died. And now his body's gone. And the angel's confused. Well, he's risen. And sometimes God's looking at us and he's confused. It would be like Cameron coming home every day and he just, he mopes around and he's longing for me. And I'm standing right there and say, ah, I'm right here. Maybe that's funny. But anyways, why would you long for something that's right in front of you is what I'm saying. It's there. You know, we need to change our mentality. We understand it in the natural. We talk about it in healing. You know, you're longing for something in the natural. Well, we've been teaching and teaching. It's already yours. It's finished. Healing. It's already there. It's provided. Well, it's no different in the spirit. Why do we think the spirit is so different? Everything you desire, everything to satisfy you, taste and see that the Lord is good. What does the Bible say in Isaiah 55, chapter 1? Come and eat and drink and be filled with spiritual fatness. Like, it's there. God has already given it to us, all of us, through Christ. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well? What did Jesus say? She came to draw water. And Jesus asked her because he was tired. And he said, could you draw me a drink of water? And she's looking at him and says, why would you, a Jew, ask me, Samaritan, to give you a glass of water? And Jesus said, well, if you knew who was asking you, you would ask me for a glass of water and I'll give you a glass of water that you'll never thirst again. And she's like, you give me this water, sir. But notice he said, you never will thirst again. He didn't say you're going to thirst and thirst and thirst. No, he said, you will never thirst again. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Through the understanding of the reasoning of the word, philosophy, reasoning, philosophers. Lots of reasoning. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We are his body. In him dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. Amplified version says, and you have come to fullness of life in Christ. But the Greek word complete, if you look it up, it means to be full, to be fulfilled, completed. But another definition is to be satisfied. In Christ, you've been satisfied, completely filled up. God has already satisfied every longing heart in Jesus. We are longing for things that we already have. And we need the physical evidence of it before we believe it, just like the presence. It's like if we don't sense his presence, we don't get the goosies, oh, God didn't show up this morning. No, that's living in the flesh. We need to stop that. We need to see us ourselves on the inside. The next time you feel a longing for anything, tell yourself, I've already been satisfied. I have that thing. It don't matter whether I feel it on the outside or not. See, but what we're longing for is the manifestation in the natural, you see, to make the flesh feel good. But we can't get that manifestation until we believe it first, right? So we're longing for things we already have. The presence of God is always with us. It's always with you. It doesn't come and go. Doesn't manifest somewhere from above after you've worshipped long enough. No, it's released through your spirit. It's in you. Where does God live? In you. He used to live in the temple in the ark, or back in the Old Testament in that tent, and only the high priest could go in. So the people were outside of the presence of God. But you know what? We're the temple of God. He lives in us. His presence is in us. This tangible presence, this tangible anointing lives on the inside of us. So it doesn't come from somewhere. Remember I did that teaching on Isaiah chapter 60, that the glory of the Lord is risen upon, it's arisen, arising upon us. It's coming from the inside out, and it rests on us. It doesn't come from up, down. And too many times we're waiting for God to just come down with his presence or his power, but it's on the inside of us. And you know, it's released through us. Now, it may take 8 hours for you to release it, but it could take 8 seconds if you understand. It's in you. You're not trying to conjure it up, you know. You're not trying to call in the power or in the presence. You're just simply worshiping God. You already know it's there. And all of a sudden, it could take seconds. And I know in my own personal life, the more I understand this truth, the quicker the presence is all over me. So it's not God. He's given it to us. It's like we just release it. And then just enjoy it. So it's very, very, it's very real. It can be tangible in the natural. But it's not that God just picks and chooses depending on how long you worship him and how much everybody's in sync. My goodness sakes, God must be touchy and feely. If that's the only time he's going to manifest. So everything is released through your spirit by faith. God has already given you and I the spirit of life, the Bible says. Just imagine the life of God lives on the inside of you. The enormity of that, if you just pondered it for a while. My goodness, and we say we can't do this and we can't do that. His life is in us, the God who created the whole universe. And he's given it to you to use. It's not like he's just kind of letting it go in little bits and pieces, you know, as you worship long enough or as you pray long enough. You know what I'm saying? It's like he's given you authority over that life. So God's already given the living water. It's on the inside of us. And he said, and out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of life. It's in you. And you know, he's already given us the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom, he says, is within you. The kingdom of God is in you. That's where the presence of the Lord is, the power of the Lord is. It's the kingdom of God. It's inside of you, right? So, you know, we're standing in front of a door trying to get into the kingdom. We're standing in front of a door that does not exist. So we're sitting outside of this kingdom life, yearning for what's behind the door. And so because it's not coming, and so then we begin to try to make it happen on our own. And that's where the prayer and the praise and all the things we do. We start getting into the flesh because we have this longing that's not satisfied. And any unsatisfied longing of your heart, I guarantee you, it's going to move you to do something that you shouldn't be doing. And I mean, it all looks holy and religious and spiritual. But God is saying, no, 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 no. Why are you longing for me? Why is it taking so long? How long have we longed for the presence of the Lord? Well, for me, it's 30 years. We've longed for the power. It's been 30 years. You know, like, how long do we have to long for something? Are we ever going to be satisfied? I ask myself that question. So we're longing, and we think that by doing these things, we're bringing the kingdom to us. No, the kingdom's in us. So this longing, this longing heart, the seeking heart, is that bringing glory to God? It's making God look like he's doesn't like to dole out his presence all that much. You know, in the Gospels, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus calls his 12 disciples to himself, or his apostles, and then he says, he gives them power over unclean spirits to cast out devils. He says, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And in verse 8, he says this, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, raise the dead. He wasn't talking to men that were so super spiritual or that were just extra special ordinary men that worshiped 8 hours a day. He was talking to 12 disciples, 12 unlearned men, some of them fishermen. Some of them were even a little shifty in their character. Matthew, tax collector. And he says, okay, come here, you guys. Come here. Can you imagine the scene? Okay, I'm going to give you power. Now I want you to get out there, and I want you to raise the dead. And they're like, raise the dead. Cast out devils. Cleanse the lepers. Heal all manner of sickness and disease. And then he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received this power. Whether it's the manifest presence of God, whether it's the power of the Holy Spirit, freely you've received it. Now go out there and freely give it away. Now let me ask you this. How much effort, when you think about it, Megan, there's a dead guy laying there, and I say, Megan, go raise him from the dead. And you're like, how much effort do you think it would take on your part to raise that dead man? There you go. Lots. That's the majority of the people would think that. It's going to take a lot of effort. Now, Jesus told him in one breath to do all these things. He didn't go, okay, first of all, you're going to do this one. And then here's the list of the things you need to do in order to be able to do that. And then raise the dead. Oh my goodness, we need a couple of pages to write out the list of things that you need to have in place before you're going to raise the dead. No, he could jump all into one. He said, do these things. Because freely you've received it, now freely go and give it away. So how much effort do you think it'll take on your part to do any of these things? And if you are here today and you say none, then why are we not out there doing it? How would you pray over someone who's dead? Diana. How would you even approach that? I mean, we'd be like, oh. Let me ask you this. Would you put more effort into praying over a dead person than you would for praying for a man who has a headache? Of course you would. Because you think, oh man, it's going to take some power. You have no power. The Bible says you can't even change one hair on your head. So, you know, the way we think, it stinks. And we lose out. We miss, I mean, stop and ask, think for 1 minute. If God gave these 12 men this power to do that, and you know what? The Bible says they did it. They just went out and did it. What a blast. Do you think we could live a more exciting life than raising people out of the grave or from the dead? Come on. Going into hospitals, laying hands on sick people. It says, go. And heal all manner. It didn't say some manner. It says all manner of sickness, all manner of diseases. Wow, what a life. What a fulfilling life that would be. You know, you can have all the nice things in this world and be totally miserable. None of it means anything. But one, I mean, just even one person that you raised from the dead, can you imagine how that would make you feel? The excitement your life would have, you couldn't wait for the next guy. I shouldn't put it that way, but it's true. It's like healing, I mean, the sick, the same thing. And yet that's what God is. God knows you on the inside. He knows every thought you think. He knows what he created you for. He created you for greatness. He created you in his image. And God loves to manifest his life. And that is what the heart is longing for. To see that life flow, because the life's in us. And we know it's in us, but we're still trying to figure out how to get it to flow out. So what my point here is, how many songs do we have to sing to sense the presence of God? Is it 5? Is it 10? I don't know. How long do you have to spend in prayer before we hear the voice of God? Or how long do we have to pray in tongues before we sense his presence and the direction and leading of the Spirit? Now, I'm not against any of these things. I'm not preaching against these things, but I'm preaching against the reason we use these things. We sing because we enjoy his presence. We already have his presence. And so we just love to sing in his presence. That's the reason you sing 10 songs. We pray, and we pray in the Spirit because we're so full, and it's a way of releasing the life. We're not trying to get full. We are so full. And so it just comes pouring out of us. There's no effort in that. Jesus said, going back to Matthew chapter 10, as you go, preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, what does it mean, the kingdom of God is at hand? That means, if you look it up, it means it is here. It is ready for you. When you go, preach, saying. In other words, just go do it, tell them it's here, where it's in you, the power's in you, and do what I tell you. And then he says, and if they don't receive it, shake the dust off your feet, go to the next place. Don't get all, oh my goodness, it didn't work. You know what? It doesn't matter. Shake the dust off. It didn't work back then. Some people just wouldn't believe it, so they couldn't receive it. You just keep on going. And you find a dead man that will get up out of the grave. Amen? That's the commission. And don't, as the church, what I'm seeing is that we're longing and longing and longing for these things, and God is telling us, go, go, go. I mean, he commissioned him before he died on the cross. How much more now? Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. These signs are going to follow those that believe. They'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. They will not remain sick. He'll cast out devils, even raise the dead. And we're still longing for the power. Longing for the presence was given long time ago. This is not a message that will help us. In the end, it'll hurt us if we hear things on, you know, we have to seek God and just, you know, be in his presence. You know, it gives us this idea that this is the person that God is going to use someday when we get spiritual enough, when we hear the voice of God, when we sense the power. No, don't be moved by the flesh. Let's be moved by what God's word says and just step into it. Do it. Whether we feel the power or not. You know, Jesus didn't say to his disciples, now before you go into this here, now you need to fast, you need to pray, you need to do this and that and that and that, and then you can go out and do all these things. No, he just said, go. I give you the power. Now go. We want to feel something first, the kingdom power. We want to feel the presence. And then maybe we'll go and we'll pray. But you know something, what I've learned over the years, and I think even coming through this whole message that I'm giving this morning, that the least amount of effort that you and I put into anything, the greater the glory to God. When Jesus was on the earth, he never prayed long prayers. You know, the Bible says that we're not heard for our much speaking. You know, and we got to remember that. What did Jesus say? Arise. In other words, get up. That was it. There was no big long prayer. Oh, Father, in the name of, after you fasted and prayed for a week, first in tongues, and then, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, you who are the author of all life, and just go on and on. No, Jesus said, get up. And the dead rose. Lazarus, get out of there. When he came to the tomb of Lazarus, he did say before he came to the tomb, he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me, and you always hear me. And then he turned around, he said, Lazarus, get out of the grave, or come out. And Lazarus came out. Simple words. That's the most powerful prayers. The least amount of effort that you put in to your prayer, the more powerful, the more First of all, the more glory God is going to get, and the greater the results. Because there is no effort on your part. Do you think there was any effort on the apostles' part or the disciples when they went out? I mean, they were probably messing up left and right. Can you imagine these 12 guys running around out there, casting out devils and healing sick people? And, you know, and God entrusted them. How much more you and I is he going to entrust? We sometimes think God can't entrust me with this power. Don't worry. He knows what he's doing. And so let's remember, it's not about how long we pray. It's not about how much we sense the presence. It's just about simply getting out there and acting on what we know to do because Jesus said, go. So we must go. And the least amount of effort we put into anything God has given us, the greater the return and the more glory he receives. Amen? See, when we put so much effort into it, who's getting the glory? You know, after listening to the testimony of this man who, you know, and they had many, many miracles sent in because of his worshiping God 8 hours a day. And the power comes and manifests in people. Like I say, people literally are getting healed through the power of God. But when it's all said and done, you know, you're looking more at the man and like, wow, that's an awesome ministry. We got to go to that ministry. We got to be in the presence of the Lord when he's playing. So you see, there's so much emphasis given to the person. And we got to remember that. God doesn't want no emphasis on us. God says, no man is going to get the glory. I'm going to get the glory. So when we look at something, we speak a word, God loves it. It's like, yes! You know, they just said, get up. And I mean, you didn't do any lengthy prayer. You drew no attention to yourself. You were there to glorify God. And in his name, the thing can't stay the way it is. And so I may not know how to pray eloquently. I may not know everything, but I know his name. And I know his name is above every name, and it has power in it. So don't worry about how you pray or what you pray. Just speak the name, and the thing must. And God loves it. The simpler the prayer, the more glory God receives. So don't concern yourself with, I'm not a very good prayer, and I really don't know how to come at this situation. Just speak. Whatever you want to see. Be fixed. Be healed. Get up. Whatever. Don't make it so complicated. God loves it when you just address things with very simple. But that is prayer. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. We sometimes think we're in our prayer, we pray all day long. Who has time to do that? We don't do that. It's just speak life all day long. Because every time you speak in the name of Jesus, you're actually praying. That's what prayer is just speaking to the things in your life. Whether it's your body, whether there's a problem, wherever, just speak. God loves it. Amen? Okay, I'm going to have the worship team come up. We're going to close with communion this morning.